It's Ask the Governor, in-depth with Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe. Now live from the Glass Enclosed Nerve Center, it's Deborah Feinstein and Mark Lewis.
Welcome to Ask the Governor on WTOP. The Governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, is here for his final program in office. We're looking forward to the next hour of conversation with him. In addition to your questions, you can ask a question at 877-336-1035. That's 877-336-1035. Submit a question on Twitter using the hashtag AskThe. You can pose a question on our live blog at WTOP.com, and we will have Facebook Live running again this morning on WTOP. Governor, we have some questions for you this morning, and we're going to start with some of the recent developments in the last couple of days and overnight. The federal government shutdown has been avoided for now. Congress passing a short-term spending bill yesterday and also temporarily funding CHIP, which has been a concern of yours, I know, in recent weeks, the Children's Health Insurance Program. This is coming on the heels of approving the Republican tax package earlier in the week that not only dramatically cut corporate taxes and reduced the tax burden on individuals, it also scrapped the individual mandate in the Affordable Care Act, which President Trump boasted essentially repeals Obamacare. Let's start with today's news, which does have a direct impact on Virginia. No government shutdown for the moment. Congress, though, punting decisions until next month. CHIP gets funding through March. Virginia was one of the states where CHIP funding was set to run out in a matter of weeks in January. What's your reaction to the developments in Congress in the last 24 hours?
Well, let me just say, Mark, it's an honor to be here with you. This is our 38th and final show. It's been a great four years working with you. In fact, I brought a little give me a stout or give me death at the end. We'll have a little toast together to end this formal. And I just want to say Deb is missing and Julie's missing for our final show.
Just us boys.
Just the boys here fighting it out here today. But I'm happy that the CHIP, I mean, it's temporary. We need permanent. As you know, on December 12th, I had to send a letter out to 68,000 children who were impacted by losing their health insurance, as well as 1,100 pregnant women. Mm-hmm. So it's a temporary fix. They've got to get full funding, so people still should be nervous, cautious until Congress fully, you know, funds the CHIP reauthorization. We have this new budget, as you and I have talked about. It's a horrible plan, the tax plan. You know, it's going to enrich the donors and the corporations at the expense of the workers who, you know, they're getting squeezed today. They're not going to benefit from this at all. Just in Virginia, the state and local deductions in last year, we had 1.5 million Virginians take $16.5 billion worth of deductions. And on the mortgage interest deduction, it was 1.1 million Virginians taking $11.5 billion. So that's $28 billion that we're going to see. A lot of that is going to be lost to the pockets of Virginia voters and Virginia citizens. So I think they're going to pay a price for this politically because people are going to be very unhappy about it.
With CHIP, do you have enough funding to keep this program going through March in Virginia until there is a longer-term fix from Congress?
No. So we have enough money to last us through January 31st. Mm-hmm. What we have been told,
even with this extension that they
could
just
take
approved
us another couple months, but okay, they are going to have permanent reauthorization. Because the problem is, Mark, unless you know you have the permanent reauthorization, you have to start taking actions inside our Department of Health. A lot of things get affected by this. We need to know that this long-term funding is going to be in place.
Right. So you can't bring new people into the program in some cases if you don't know how long the funding is lasting. So what does this mean?
Listen, this is what drives me crazy about Congress. They cannot get anything done. They cannot work together. You know, they can't get a budget done. I mean, we're going to be a continuing resolution. That means sequestration, still law of the land, which really impacts Virginia with all of the military assets that we have. You just wish at some point they could come together, work in a bipartisan way. You know, as governors, we got to have balanced budgets. And if I got to make a tough decision, Mark, I got to make it. I don't like it, but I got to do it. We have balanced budgets. And speaking of budgets, let me just say, I put my budget out on Monday. Mm-hmm. I just want all the Virginians, it's a great budget. There's money in it for everybody, and it's the most, I think, fiscally stable budget that we have. It is got money in it for all of my priorities on education, workforce development. When I came into office, the budget I inherited had a $2.4 billion deficit. I am now leaving office 4 years later with one of the strongest budgets we've ever had in Virginia. It is a great budget. It's about $112 billion biennium budget that we have with general, non-general funds. So our Commonwealth is very strong fiscally. Our numbers are way up this quarter. Our payroll withholding way up, which means jobs. So I just want Virginians to understand, 4 years ago when I took office, $2.4 billion deficit, today, a really structurally balanced budget that everybody can be proud of.
We'll talk more about that budget, what it can mean for Metro and other purposes coming up in the hour. And of course, before we're done here, we'll find out, Governor, if you're running for president. We'll talk about that and more coming up on Ask the Governor. 1-800-336-1035 is the number to call for you to get a question into Governor Terry McAuliffe this morning. His final show of Ask the Governor on WTOP.
Traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks.
On the roads through Virginia and Maryland, not much slowing you down. Heading east toward Tyson's on Route 7 near the Dulles Toll Road Overpass Project. One left lane's getting by the work zone slowly. 66 eastbound, slowly getting a move on toward the Beltway on I-66 east near 495. The crash is being towed off the left shoulder. Just a brief delay getting past it. No further delay inbound inside the Beltway. I-95, express lanes are going to go into turnaround mode, but so far volume delays are building gradually at the Occoquan River and stretches southbound through Dumfries and Quantico. Let's go to Maryland. 95 is in good shape for the early getaway. No issues between the beltways. Northbound Baltimore-Washington Parkway. That is a slow go north of the beltway in stretches toward Laurel and Fort Meade. I'm Dave Dildine, WTOP Traffic.
Temperatures today will be back in the 50s with mostly cloudy skies. We stay dry until tonight. Then we have rain moving into the area mostly after 8 p.m. Temperatures overnight drop to around 50 degrees with some showers. For Saturday morning, early showers, then we're cloudy and mild with temperatures in the mid-60s. Then some more afternoon and evening showers Saturday. That all clears out for Sunday. We'll see partly cloudy skies, breezy, cooler, upper 40s for a high. Then a chance of a late wintry mix, a rain-snow mix very late Sunday night into very early Monday morning. Then we're mostly dry for your Christmas Day, breezy with a high of 39. I'm Storm Team 4 meteorologist Sheena Parveen.
39 is our temperature right now outside the Glass Enclosed Nerve Center. Feels like it's only 34. WTOP continuing now with Ask the Governor on WTOP. 877-336-1035, the number to call for with your question for the governor. We'll get to those calls in just a moment. Governor, first, a couple more questions about Interstate 66. Many comments from drivers have not so much been about the cost of the tolls or the spike.
Yep.
Rather, it's about the expanded hours of tolling and restricted driving. 5:30 a.m. to 9 now and 3 p.m. to 7 in the evening. This has forced people to make some major changes to their commutes and in some cases their work day, trying to leave early, finding alternate routes or anything like that. Why were the expanded times needed on 66? Was this a way of guaranteeing more revenue by having more time for tolling during rush hour? What was the reason for that?
If you had all those single drivers before you started this process, it would clog up the road and then you could never get back. So you would start with congestion when the dynamic tolling started. So you're defeating the whole purpose. You have to do it and complete for the both ways going as people are commuting to and from work. And if you let them go in early, then it would get congested and then it would be stuck. And so the whole purpose of this dynamic tolling. But I make the point, you do have a lot of options too. We have been tracking the different routes from the Beltway to GW Parkway, from Prince William coming in. We have been tracking, you know, through Route 50, a similar amount of miles. It takes 15 minutes now. The whole area has opened up because of this. All I can do, and you can go to our VDOT website every single day.
So you're not seeing any additional traffic on 50, 29 as a result of this?
Nope. It's cleared up a lot of the areas. And, I mean, I just have the facts in front of me. 15 minutes. And we put this on our VDOT website. You can go every day and look at this data if you want. So don't take my word for it.
Now, December, of course, you know, there are slightly different traffic patterns in December. You know, we have the holidays. People are traveling more. It might change once everybody is back and you get into a more of a normal commuting pattern around here, a heavier commuting pattern.
Well, I couldn't have been any heavier than last night. I wish I'd taken it.
Will there be an opportunity for evaluation and the possibility of adjustments, either to the toll hours, pricing, any of these things that are concerning folks right now?
So here's the issue. I want to go back to the basic point that in the beginning, we were in violation of federal law. We had been notified if you don't have 90% of the time at 45 miles an hour, we were not close to that. We had to do something about 66, or we risked, obviously, federal funding. So, you know, listen, when you make tough decisions in life, leadership is about stepping up. And what we're trying to do is build this Northern Virginia, you know, for the next 50 years, because we're still recruiting companies. I don't know where we're going to put another 1.5 million people. But if we hadn't taken actions on 66, Mark, no, you know, doing nothing was no longer an option. And I'm very proud of our teams, Aubrey Lane and all the people of transportation, that finally got Arlington County to say, this, we just can't continue to live like this anymore. We're not going to be able to recruit businesses to come to our beautiful Commonwealth. Now we have a plan in place. We've made it. And as I say, for thousands of commuters, it's worked better. Their average speed is now up. Right. And for the single drivers who couldn't go on it before, they now have a choice.
And you're not disturbed by the use of the term Lexus lanes, which I'm sure you've heard before, but even if it's only 17 people, those 17 could pay the $40. They could choose to do so. Others who may not have the means to pay the 40 so that they could get in quicker, they're still dealing with congestion.
Well, at least you got those 17 people off the free part. I mean, we've done this now on 95 and 495. They've worked great. If we didn't have the express lanes on 95 and 495, I'm telling you, Mark, forget it. People are going to move out of this area. I mean, we are dealing with a transportation crisis that, unfortunately, for so many years, nothing was done about it. We have now taken action to get things done. The free people, they've got the new lanes. They had the same amount they had before. But you've now moved a lot of people off of the free lanes into those that want to pay it. It's a choice. But we're now opening up Northern Virginia. You can't recruit Amazon and these companies if it's a parking lot. To go see your kids play a ball game shouldn't take an hour and a half. Leadership is about making tough decisions, using the data, the metrics, and coming up with it. And, you know, listen, I'm not bothered. People, you know, these legislators, I mean, as I say, if I'm a voter, I'd go back and say, well, why didn't you read the bill you signed? Or why did you stand next to the governor at a press conference to clapping and smiling and not reading the press releases? Leadership is about standing up. And I do want to give a shout out to Senator Dave Marsden, who has been nothing but a leader on this, who has said this system is working. And I give him credit. That's what leadership's all about, making change to help people's lives, not sitting in the background whining and complaining when they don't know the facts or they actually voted for it and now we're trying to make things up.
Governor, we're going to have to get to the phones. Jim has been holding on from Burke, Virginia. If have your headphones there, you'll be able to hear Jim. Go ahead, Jim. What's your question for the governor?
Thank you, Governor, for taking my call. As you know, the changes in the federal tax law are likely to impact the taxes, the Virginia taxes that residents pay, specifically with regard to the increase in the federal standard deduction. Unless Virginia increases the $6,000 that a married couple can deduct for standard deduction, married couples would likely pay higher taxes in Virginia. My question is, does Virginia plan to modify its income tax code to adjust to the changes in the federal tax code?
What will this mean in Virginia, Governor?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. As I mentioned earlier, about $28 billion Virginia taxpayers could likely lose now because of this deductibility issue. Now, you know, certain people are going to deduct and others aren't, but clearly for a lot of, and let me say this, in Northern Virginia, where the state and local and the mortgage interest deduction is a big deal, you know, on housing. Now, if you're in, you're grandfathered in, but now if you're going to buy a house going forward, they've changed that. So it's going to have a dramatic impact on people. Jim raises a very valid question. I don't want to speak for the new governor-elect, but I do think we ought to take a look at our whole tax code. I've long advocated. We had a lot of battles. I would love to have gotten it done. But, you know, I remind you, when I came into office, we had a $2.5 billion deficit that I inherited. I didn't write the bill, but I inherited. So now leaving this office with a very structurally balanced budget, with 2% in our cash reserves, adding money to the rainy day fund, fully funding all of our top priorities. I think, Jim, it's a very good question. I think Virginia has the opportunity, and Ralph, all to take a look at this with the legislature and to make it more competitive. You know, I've always long, questioned the machinery tool tax and others. You know, people get charged on the machinery tool tax. At the same time, I'm trying to bring advanced manufacturing back to Virginia. They can go to another state and doesn't have to pay it. I think we ought to have a top-to-down review of our tax code so that we can continue to make it very, very competitive. We're a low-tax state, but Jim raises some valid issues and now going to affect the tax rate. So let us look at that tax code to make Virginia even more attractive. I will tell you, though, our employment, I'm leaving office. It was 5.4 when I took office, down to 3.6 today, second lowest of any major state in America. We're structurally full employment. The key for us in Virginia is I have too many high-paying jobs I can't fill. That's why we put a record amount in workforce development and education in my new budget.
What are the future plans for the current governor of Virginia? We'll ask him right after traffic and weather.
Traffic and weather on the 8s and when it breaks.
Subtle signs of an early rush hour with traffic on the inner loop already slowing down at the Legion Bridge and on 270 north of Urbana. Delays so far on 495 and 270 brief. In Rockville, outside of the metro station, a crash involving a pedestrian. Southbound 355 Rockville Pike, all lanes are blocked by the rescue response south of Middle Lane. It's going to be between that intersection and Veers Mill Road. Southbound drivers are stuck and having to turn around under police direction. Northbound, you should be able to get through on the Rockville Pike. On the Baltimore-Washington Parkway and I-95, brief volume delays heading north of the Beltway toward the airport. Route 50, so far so good at the Severn and Bay Bridges. Westbound or inbound on 50, New York Avenue, slowed by a work zone after Bladensburg Road near West Virginia Avenue. You lose the right lane. DC 295, heavy south of Benning Road toward East Capitol Street. Northern Virginia, I-95, it is a getaway day. Southbound, stretches of slow-moving traffic between Springfield and Fredericksburg, heaviest south of Newington across the Occoquan as we wait for the easy pass lanes to open up to southbound drivers. WTOP reporters are driven by Fitzgerald Wheaton used cars. Come see the no-haggle Fitzway price lower than troop car posted on every car. Fitzgerald Wheaton used cars. That's the Fitz way. Dave Dildine, WTOP traffic.
Expect mostly cloudy skies through the day, but we do stay dry for any holiday travel. Temperatures will be in the mid-50s later on this afternoon. Rain chances increase, though, as we go through tonight and overnight tonight. Some showers possible. Low temperatures will drop to around 50 degrees. Some early showers Saturday morning, otherwise cloudy with temperatures in the mid-60s. Then another chance for afternoon and evening showers on Saturday. That all clears out for Sunday. We are colder Sunday, 48 for a high. Mostly sunny to partly cloudy, then a chance of a late wintry mix into early Monday. Otherwise, dry for Christmas Day and a high of 39. I'm Storm Team 4 meteorologist Sheena Parveen.
41 degrees now in Northwest Washington as we head to the mid-50s. Ask the Governor on WTOP 877-336-1035, 877-336-1035. And we're going back to the phones now in our final minutes with Governor Terry McAuliffe. Jim is calling in from Waterford with a question for the Governor. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello, Governor. Thank you for taking the call.
Sure, sir.
I've always been wondering for a long time why, and I'd like your opinion on why Virginia only allows a one-term governorship, and do you think that'll ever change?
Yeah. Good question. We used to have one-year terms back with Patrick Henry, Thomas Jefferson, and so forth. You know, a lot of states had a one-year term, but they've all gotten rid of it. I think Kentucky was the last one to go probably 10, 12 years ago. Virginia still has it. I'll be very honest with you, Jim. I don't think the legislature will ever change it because they all want to be governor.
Would you support a change? Would
yeah,
you like
I,
to
listen,
run? Would you like to run for re-election?
Which good? Well, if it were there, I would do it. I'm very, you know, but I knew going in, so I mean, I'm fine. But I think, let's talk democracy. I think a 1-5 or 1-6 year term for every governor would be great. You don't have to worry about reelection. You got to go in. I mean, the chief executive of your state, go in and do what you think is right. I think people spend too long in politics. Change is good, and if you can't get it all done in 6 years, then you shouldn't be in the job in the first place anyway. So I just think we ought to look at that. I think a 1-5 or 1-6 year term. I wish I had one more in the sense that I'd love to be around for the Amazon deal, and I'd love to be around to continue negotiations on Redskins and a few others. But as I say, I'm leaving office with the most ever, about 1,080 projects, $19.5 billion. I'm trying to get to 20. So
well, 4 years certainly flown by.
Yes.
What would you pick as your top accomplishment that you're proudest of in office?
Clearly, I'm not going to say building a new Virginia. We have built it. We are a new, stronger Virginia. We have diversified our economy. That's probably the most important thing. But underneath that, the tenets of that will be treating everybody with dignity and respect. You know, they were shutting the women's health clinics down when I came into office. Remember that, Mark? The trap laws. I got rid of the Board of Health. All of our clinics are staying open. We just opened a new one down in Virginia Beach. How we've been able to lean in to protect all rights of LGBT and the environment. We've gone from 17 megawatts of solar to now 2,600. We're a different state. The first offshore wind project utility we have here in Virginia. Record investments in education. My classrooms, not courtrooms. Clearly the restoration of rights. Transportation. I mean, you think of the last 4 years, I've gotten 93% of what I promised. If you go to my website that I promised when I ran for governor, that's a pretty high number. And I, as I say, I had a good working relationship with a very Republican legislature. on the stuff that I really, on economic development, transportation, and education. But we've built the new Virginia economy. We are structurally at full employment today. Record, you know, $2.5 billion deficit when I walked into office, and leaving the budget I just left on Monday with money for everybody and money in the cash reserve. It's a strong, strong budget.
You know, when you talk to now Senator Kaine and ask about his darkest day as governor, he reflects on the Virginia Tech massacre and all of the aftermath from that. What would you say was your most difficult time? I'm wondering, was it the events of this year in Charlottesville in August, or was it some other
event? It was Charlottesville, clearly. I was down there to see all those people, Mark, marching up and down the streets, screaming the worst obscenities of the African-American community and the Jewish community. I just wondered what has happened in this country. You know, they used to wear hoods to do this. Now they're just screaming at people. And then when I had to go do the press conference, it was really the toughest. Because, you know, just before I walked out, I'd been told that two of my troopers, my pilot from the helicopter and one of my former EPU members, you know, so Jay Cullen and Burke Bates had been killed in a crash of our helicopter. And I had to go out, and I knew what I had to do, but that was really tough. And then I drove back to Richmond and went to see the families. That was clearly the hardest day.
I have to ask you, in the aftermath of all of that, there have been many reports and evaluations about that day, things that went wrong. We are seeing evaluations that the city of Charlottesville and the police there had many difficulties, that they did not prepare well. There has been some evaluation that the state police didn't share their plan with the city. A lot of things that could have happened that would have helped that day go better, perhaps. This is likely not the last time we're going to deal with a protest.
No. He's asked for a new permit on the anniversary. Yeah.
Is Virginia over? Do you feel that Virginia as a state and Virginia with the localities, are they prepared to deal with this again so that we don't see this kind of tragedy and potentially loss of life?
Well, listen, I'm going to submit legislation. I mean, we got to give localities the authority to ban firearms at their protests. That's not allowed under Virginia law today. You shouldn't bring firearms to a protest like that. I've been very clear on that. So are we prepared? We're as prepared as, but we learned a lot, and we're going to propose legislation like banning firearms at protests. And, you know, I took executive action on the lease statute. You couldn't fit 5,000 people. That permit allowed that. Now, you know, we're down to 500. So we've made changes. But we got to get to the root core, and that's why I've talked to the principals and the superintendents. What is it? How have we gotten to this place in America with such hatred? We've got to do a better job in early education, talking about, you know, being unified and open to everybody. And it's just we've gotten to a bad place in this country where people can scream obscenities at individuals. It's just awful.
In that kind of protest situation, if it were repeated again, would you rather have state police in charge? I know that we're talking laws about who runs things.
Yeah, well, they run it. Charlottesville runs it because of unified command. We need to look at that. We need to change that. If I'm sending down 800-900 state police and the Virginia Guard, first time called out in decades, I sent all the force we had. But you're under a unifying command, local jurisdiction controls. We can't do that again.
So
our folks should lead.
What are you doing when you leave the executive mansion and Ralph Northam is sworn in? Are you running for president in 2020?
I'm leaving here on the 13th. I'm going to create jobs to the end. Next year, help the 36 governors travel all over the country. I've got more than 100 requests for speeches on my desk already. I'm going to take a big issue on redistricting. So I'm going to be very active. I'm going to work with the veterans community, number one state for veterans. I want to keep that cause going.
Are you exploring your options for president to see if it's feasible?
Well, I'm going to be very active, very visible next year, traveling all over the country. We'll just see where the future takes us at that point. But before we go, I want to give you a toast. This has been a 38th grade. I've got Give Me Stout or Give Me Death.
This is
Stone
the official
Brewery.
Beer of the governor of Virginia.
Named after me. My name is on the bottle. They wanted to put my picture on it, but my lawyers wouldn't let them do it. But, you know.
What's it called again?
Give Me Stout or Give Me Death.
You actually picked this beer.
I picked all the ingredients.
This is your
the blueberry,
favorite.
The raspberries.
My goodness. Let me take a look at that.
Well,
it's a very dark beer, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a dark beer.
And
but it's been a great 4 years.
You don't play around, do you, Governor? This is a strong beer just from the... What's the alcohol content of this?
A little sip will never kill you.
What's the alcohol content of this?
And here we go. We got the camera team. All the camera people want to have a little sip here, too.
All right,
everybody. Facebook Live. All right, to T.O.P.,
Governor.
Been a great 4 years.
It's been a pleasure chatting with you. Hope you have enjoyed coming in and talking to us and the
Absolutely.
People of Virginia and the D.C. metro area. Best of luck to you as you move forward.
Thank you.
And
Thank
we
you.
Hope to hear from you. If you decide to run for president.
I'm going to do it on the show.
You will call WTOP first.
Absolutely. Going to be on the show.
Thank you, Governor.
Come on in, Judy. Have a sip.
Take care.
Everybody. Thanks, everybody.
That is Ask the Governor on WTOP.